You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on Meditations. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Notes on Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. Start with a quote. Your mind will be like its habitual thoughts, for the soul becomes dyed with the color of its thoughts. Soak it then in such trains of thought as, for example, where life is possible at all, a right life is possible. End quote. Not only is Marcus Aurelius one of my heroes, he's also one of history's leading Stoic philosophers. Stoic philosophy, you know, one of the classic Hellenistic philosophies right there with Epicureanism and Cynicism. Huh? Whether or not you've heard of Stoicism, you've probably met one of its leading thinkers, Marcus Aurelius. He's the old emperor in the movie Gladiator. In this note, we're going to take a quick look at the historical context in which Aurelius wrote Meditations and the Stoic philosophy that influenced his thinking. From there, we'll jump into some of my favorite big ideas from the classic Emperor Philosopher's Journals. We'll start with the historical context. It was in the 2nd century during battles against barbarian tribes in the Danube region near Hungary, not unlike the opening scene of Gladiator, when Aurelius wrote Meditations. Imagine the powerful Roman Empire, encompassing vast territory from England to Spain and Africa, to Egypt, Arabia, and Turkey. This is the empire that Marcus Aurelius defended from barbarians and pestilence and plague at every border. Now you can imagine Aurelius, the emperor of this vast empire, trained in the Stoic philosophy, reminding himself to live the philosophy during some of the most trying times of his rule in the battlefields of war. Interestingly, the literal translation of the title is to himself, as Aurelius was simply jotting notes to himself in his private journal. His intention was not to publish anything. Rather, he used his journal to remind himself of the lessons he learned as a young nobleman, being groomed to one day rule the empire. The book is broken down into bite-sized nuggets of wisdom that you can enjoy a few minutes at a time, and I highly recommend you start enjoying. And I have to put in a note, I love Aurelius, and I fell even more in love with him when I was in Budapest and ran into his exhibit in the Roman Antiquities Wing of the Hungarian National Museum, which described the fact that he wrote Meditations pretty much on that location. So as any good student would do, I rushed to the bookstore to pick up another copy of his book to study the master on his home turf. Moving on to a quick introduction to Stoicism. The modern word Stoic is derived from the calm demeanor of the Stoic philosopher. The philosophy itself, however, was named Stoicism because its founder, Zeno, taught in a well-known stoa, a colonnade or porch. Stoicism is one of three prominent philosophies of the Hellenistic era. The other two were Cynicism and Epicureanism. The philosophy was founded by Zeno about 300 BCE. To put it in perspective, Plato founded the Academy in 385 BCE. Although relatively obscure today, Stoicism was the dominant philosophy of the Western world for several centuries. It lost its prominence when the Emperor Constantine declared Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire in the 4th century. As the historian Lecky points out, quote, Stoicism became the religion of the educated classes. It furnished the principle of virtue, colored the noble literature of the time, and guided all the developments of moral enthusiasm. End quote. With that, we'll jump into my favorite big ideas. We'll start with a surplus of time. Quote, take it that you have died today, and your life story is ended, and henceforward regard what future time may be given you as an uncovenanted surplus, and live it out in harmony with nature. End quote. I like that advice. So imagine this. You just died. Bam. You're gone. And you got the good fortune to come back, starting now. Okay, now live as if every moment is a gift. And remember, quote, were you to live 3,000 years or even 30,000, remember that the sole life which a man can lose is that which he is living at the moment, and furthermore, that he can have no other life except the one he loses. This means that the longest life and the shortest amount to the same thing, for the passing minute is every man's equal possession, but what has once gone by is not ours. End quote. The next big idea is visions of a lifetime. Quote, never confuse yourself by visions of an entire lifetime at once. Remember that it is not the weight of the future or the past that is pressing upon you, but ever that of the present alone, end quote. This is brilliant. It's so easy to get overwhelmed by visions of an entire lifetime at once. As Aurelius reminds us, what really matters is this moment. So while we go out and pursue our highest visions, let's remember to put all of our energy into impeccably taking the next step, and the next step, and the one after that. And always forget the opinions of others. Quote, "The approval of such men, who do not even stand well in their own eyes, has no value for him," end quote. I love that. It's amazing how easy it is to worry about other people's opinions of us. The irony is, as Aurelius points out, that most people don't even have a favorable opinion of themselves, and yet we worry about their opinions of us. Wacky. Reminds me of Ayn Rand's classic The Fountainhead. Her hero, Howard Rourke, is asked by the novel's antagonist, "What do you think of me?" And Rourke replies, "I don't." And Byron Katie in Loving What Is tells us that if she had one prayer, it would be, quote, "If I had a prayer, it would be this. God, spare me from the desire for love, approval, or appreciation. Amen." That's great. The next big idea is retire within yourself. Quote, "Men seek for seclusion in the wilderness, by the seashore, or in the mountains, a dream you have cherished too fondly yourself. But such fancies are wholly unworthy of a philosopher, since at any moment you choose, you can retire within yourself. Nowhere can man find a quieter or more untroubled retreat than in his own soul. Above all, he possesses resources in himself, which he need only contemplate to secure immediate ease of mind, the ease that is but another word for a well-ordered spirit. Avail yourself often, then, of this retirement, and so continually renew yourself." End quote. I feel refreshed just imagining such a retreat. Ralph Waldo Emerson's wisdom comes to mind here. He says, "It is easy in the world to live after the world's opinion. It is easy in solitude to live after our own. But the great man is he who, in the midst of the crowd, keeps with perfect sweetness the independence of solitude." I, perhaps like you too, have often yearned for a life of seclusion, fantasizing about the power of the quiet and stillness of the mountains or ocean. I love how Aurelius captures the power of our internal retreat, and know that my own personal retreats, from my regular 30 minutes of daily meditation, to my almost daily baths where I read and think, to conscious breathing while I drive and while I write, all of these practices have grounded me in the stillness that connects me to my higher source and fuels me with the power to create most fully. How about you? Are you practicing retreating into yourself regularly throughout your day? Susan Jeffers, in her great book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, offers another cool way to look at it. She says that rather than wait for a holiday, create a holiday hour every day so you can take time to replenish and restore your inner essence. I love that. All right, and as we celebrate and retire within ourselves, we'll move to the next big idea, being in tune with every note. Quote, "O world, I am in tune with every note of thy great harmony. For me, nothing is early, nothing late, if it be timely for thee. O nature, all that thy seasons yield is fruit for me," end quote. Remember that all these quotes in the entire book are really just passages of notes that Aurelius wrote to himself in his own journal, reminding himself of the values he believed in. In reading his private journal, we see the commitment and humility with which arguably the world's most powerful man of his era faced his challenges. It's quite remarkable, really, to see this emperor from nearly 2,000 years ago struggling with the same challenges we face and reminding himself of the same truths we all strive to embody. Specifically, the wisdom itself is beautiful. Are you struggling with what nature is sending your way? You do know that the best way to make God laugh is to tell her your plans, right? So let's be in tune with every note of nature's great harmony, and know that for us, nothing is early, nothing late, and that all the seasons of our lives provide us with the perfect fruit for our growth and actualization. That is a pathway to flow, ease, and joy. And that leads us nicely into the next big idea, time is a river. One prominent theme in Aurelius' notes to himself is the idea of change. He says, quote, "Time is a river, the resistless flow of all created things. One thing no sooner comes in sight than it is hurried past and another is borne along, only to be swept away in its turn," end quote. And he says, reflect often upon the rapidity with which all existing things, or things coming into existence, sweep past us and are carried away. And he says, even while a thing is in the act of coming into existence, some part of it has already ceased to be. Change. It's the one constant we can rely on. Are you fighting it or flowing with it in your life today? And while you contemplate that, may I ask the next big idea? For what were you made? Quote, everything, a horse, a vine, is created for some duty. For what task, then, were you yourself created? A man's true delight is to do the things he was made for. End quote. As you know, if you've read any of these notes, we come back to the idea that we all have a unique purpose again and again and again. From Martin Seligman's Science of Happiness, which is know your strengths and use them often, to the Buddha's admonition to discover your work and then, with all your heart, to give yourself to it. So the constant question, for what were you created? What makes you feel most alive? If you had all the money and all the time in the world, what would you do? What are you doing when time simply evaporates for you? What are your greatest gifts, and how are you giving them to the world? Let's look at these questions and discover the true delight of doing the things for which we were made. And while we do that, let's combine that with the next big idea, your one delight. Quote, let your one delight and refreshment be to pass from one service to the community to another, with God ever in mind. End quote. Sounds like a plan to me. How about you? Now make a note, combining knowledge of what you're here to do with service to the community, which is essentially knowing for what you were made, and doing that as your one delight in service to the world, is pretty much exactly Martin Seligman's Science of Living a Meaningful Life. So I say we get on that. And while we do that, let's play the equanimity game, the next big idea. Quote, when force of circumstance upsets your equanimity, lose no time in recovering your self-control, and do not remain out of tune longer than you can help. Habitual recurrence to the harmony will increase your mastery of it. Reading that one brings a smile to my face. When I first read it years ago, it inspired me to create what I call the equanimity game. The rules of the game are very simple. For the next day or week or lifetime or whatever, notice when you're off balance. When you start to lose your patience with the traffic or your spouse or your colleague or your kids, for example, and see how fast you can catch yourself and correct yourself, bringing yourself back to equanimity. As Aurelius says in his rockin' second century prose, quote, habitual recurrence to the harmony will increase your mastery of it. And by the way, equanimity is a finalist in my list of greatest words ever. It's from the Latin aqueous, even, plus animus, mind. And the word means balanced mind, equanimity. That's hot. All right, the next big idea is your power. Quote, if you are distressed by anything external, the pain is not due to the thing itself, but to your own estimate of it. And this you have the power to revoke at any moment. End quote. The golden rule. Well, one of them anyway. The rule is, nothing outside of ourselves has power over us. We always, yes, always, have the power to choose our response. So we need to quit being victims, blaming a circumstance or a person for our ills. They're not the problem. We are. Let's choose to create a new response. Another quote from Aurelius, take me and cast me where you will. I shall still be possessor of the divinity within me, serene and content. The next big idea, I seek the truth. Quote, I seek the truth. It is only persistence in self-delusion and ignorance that does harm. End quote. What do you seek? Know that only persistence in self-delusion and ignorance does harm. Those are pretty strong words. Are you deluding yourself? Me too, way too often. How about we make seeking the truth our primary objective from here on out? Which leads us to the next big idea, do it right. Aurelius says, quote, nothing is worth doing pointlessly, end quote. Reminds me of the Buddha's comment, if anything is worth doing, do it with all your heart. Do it or don't do it. But if you do it with all your heart. Pretty please. And know this, because a thing is difficult for you, do not therefore suppose it beyond mortal power. On the contrary, if anything is possible and proper for a man to do, assume that it must fall within your own capacity. End quote. And the next big idea is soak your mind. This is the same thought that we started this note with. Quote, your mind will be like its habitual thoughts, for the soul becomes dyed with the color of its thoughts. Soak it then in such trains of thought as, for example, where life is possible at all, a right life is possible. That thought's worth repeating again and again, and it makes me want to reach back in time and give Aurelius a big hug and a high five. Seriously, how hot is that? What are you soaking your mind in? Thoughts of power, desire to create an optimal life of service, integrity, and love? Good. Let's keep on soaking. As we do that, let's look at the final big idea today, the bond that unites all. Aurelius says, quote, think often of the bond that unites all things in the universe and their dependence on one another. End quote. I personally like to think as often as possible of the incredible bond I share with you and with everyone and everything on this beautiful planet of ours. When I drive my car, I silently thank the people who made it. That alone is an unending meditation when you trace all of the parts of your car back to all of the people in the world who played a role in getting it to you. And the people who built the roads on which I'm driving, and the ultimate creator who created the view out of my window. There's so much to be grateful for. And we can do that and should do that in every moment of our lives. Pick anything you can see right now, whether it's the chair you're sitting in or the car you're driving or the office you're sitting in, and witness the array of beautiful human beings on whom you depend, and we all depend, to enjoy such a wonderful life. It's an incredibly humbling and inspiring exercise for me, and one that opens us to the power of the bond we all share. So may we celebrate this bond as we discover our purpose, live with equanimity, soak our minds, and serve our world. All right, that wraps up the body of the note. We'll now take a look at the author Marcus Aurelius, learn a little bit more about him, and then look at some other notes I think you'll enjoy, and then the quotes from the sidebar of the PDF, and we'll go from there. All right, Marcus Aurelius Antoninus Augustus, called the Wise, born April 26th in 121, and died March 17th in 180, was Roman emperor from 161 to his death in 180. He was the last of the five good emperors and is also considered one of the most important Stoic philosophers. Marcus Aurelius's work Meditations was written on a campaign between 170 and 180, and it's still revered as a literary monument to a government of service and duty and has been praised for its exquisite accent and its infinite tenderness. That's from wikipedia.com, where you can learn more. And if you enjoyed this note, I think you'll also enjoy the philosopher's notes on Letters from a Stoic, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Loving What Is, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, Authentic Happiness, Learned Optimism, and Man's Search for Meaning. All right, now we'll check out some of the quotes. All of these, except a couple, will be from Marcus Aurelius. We start with, your time has a limit set to it. Use it then to advance your enlightenment, or it will be gone and never in your power again. To live each day as though one's last, never flustered, never apathetic, never attitudinizing, here is the perfection of character. You should banish any thought of how you may appear to others. And the whole universe is change, and life itself is but what you deem it. So here's a rule to remember in future. When anything tempts you to feel bitter, not this is a misfortune, but to bear this worthily is a good fortune. And Aurelius says, look back over the past with its changing empires that rose and fell, and you can foresee the future too. Is it possible for any useful thing to be accomplished without change? He says. And cultivate these then, for they are wholly within your power, sincerity and dignity, industriousness and sobriety. Avoid grumbling, be frugal, considerate, and frank. Be temperate in manner and speech. Carry yourself with authority. And he says, how much more grievous are the consequences of anger than the causes of it? And quote, how ridiculous not to flee from one's own wickedness, which is possible, yet endeavor to flee from another's, which is not. And Viktor Frankl shares this, everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. And Aurelius says, keep yourself simple, good, pure, serious, and unassuming. the friend of justice and godliness, kindly, affectionate, and resolute in your devotion to duty. And finally, by Albert Einstein, a human being is part of the whole, called by us universe, a part limited in time and space. He experiences himself, his thoughts and feelings, as something separated from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of his consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons nearest us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison. All right, well, that officially wraps up this note. I trust you enjoyed this quick look at Marcus Aurelius' Meditations, and I hope that you have a wonderful day and look forward to sharing another one with you soon.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to www.philosophersnotes.com to download more.